Meeting of the March 11th Public Works Capital Projects and Transportation Committee to...
Which is part of our other committee.
Should we begin with a roll call?
Chair Nolan.
Here.
Deputy Chair List.
Here.
Legislator Donald.
Here.
Legislator Kovac.
Here.
Legislator McCullough.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Is there any comments on either of the minutes that we have in front of us, both the February, can we just see such minutes?
Yes, February 5th and
February 13th. If not, is there a motion on either or both of those?
I'll make a motion.
Was for approve both?
Yeah.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye, aye.
Any opposed? All right. Both approved unanimously. We begin with resolutions for the March 19th legislative session. Resolution number 84, amending capital project number 644, site ready services for electric vehicle charging stations, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds, and Department of the Environment. Is there a motion?
No, moment.
Second? Second by McCullough. Any discussion? Do you want to hear a description or any further information? It's basically to get ready for charging stations and will be initially bonded and the administration will be seeking funding. Please.
Some of the members are aware. Today we submitted the annual grant fleet report. In order to have a place to charge them, we have to work very diligently and quickly to make sure that we have enough charging infrastructure for the vehicle. Hand in glove.
Any further discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, that passes unanimously. Resolution number 93, amending capital project number 624, SUNY Ulster Children's Center renovations, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, SUNY Ulster.
So moved.
Seconded by McCullough. I don't see anybody here yet from the university, but we did discuss this at a prior meeting. This is, would be 50% New York State money, 50% match from Ulster County. And it's a $10,000 project. Any questions? Concerns?
And there will be a bond.
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it said.
Did it say? Did it? I didn't notice. Okay. Yes, which we would vote on separately.
Okay.
So, ready for a vote? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passed unanimously. Resolution number 118, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the Village of New Paltz as an ARPA SLF-RF sub-recipient for improvements at Hasbrook Park, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Kovacs. A second?
I'll second.
Second by Legislator Donaldson. Any discussion?
This is what, $100,000 for Hasbrook Park?
Yes, to make accessible walkways and to renovate their recreation courts. Both a football court and a basketball court.
There'll be no farming here.
It's specified in this resolution.
Only. We have to fight for money for corn.
Right.
We need 13.
Yes. Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 119, amending capital project number 505, Wolven Bridge over the Sawfield Creek, pin 8761.76, replacement project construction phase, authorizing agreements, certification for reimbursement requests for federal aid on behalf of Ulster County with the New York State Department of Transportation and appropriating funds, Department of Public Works, Highways, and Bridges.
I'll move it for discussion.
For discussion. Is there a second? Second by Legislator Kovacs. Can we have a little description of what you're intending to do here?
Sure. This is this phase is for construction. This funds construction and also construction inspection services. The legislature amended the capital back in October to accept federal aid for this project. It went out to bid, and it came back, and it came back. This was over that amount, so this is 100% local funds, and this is the extent of it. So once this is done, project.
So what is the complete cost of the project?
A little over 3.5.
And
now,
80.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and it looks like if you look at the next few resolutions, that the same contractor won both.
Both projects were bid together.
Oh, they were bid together. Okay,
yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it looks like AECOM is going to get the CI for both.
Same designer, same concept, same thought.
So in theory, you would think that there would be an economy of savings because they can use inspectors in both places or whatever. But I'm very surprised to find out, and depending on how you run the numbers, that the CI is either 18% or 23% of the cost of the project.
And what is CI?
Construction inspection.
Construction inspection.
Which in the past typically has been close to 10%. So it's more than double the normal, what we're used to as percentage for, as against the total cost of the project.
But this was the winning bid?
Well, the design of the project, you put it out for RFP, the county picks a consultant. They do the design, they prepare the documents, they prepare the bidding documents, it's awarded, and then they do construction support on the design side, and they also do construction inspection on the inspection. But typically your CI, construction inspection, runs, depending on the size of the job, 8 to 10% of the cost of the project. But on this project, depending on how you calculate it, it's either 18% or 23%.
Questions for either CPW or for Legislator Lynch, who might know, do those construction inspection costs tend to go up with the size of the project, and this is a fairly large project? Is that
actually your CI cost goes down the larger the project?
Because it's percentage.
Right. If you have very small projects, you can't have a tenth of an inspector. You know, so. But especially if you have two bridges, there's an economy of savings, because if they were let separately, you'd have an inspection crew here and an inspection crew there. But because they let them together, you can have the same inspection crew working on both bridges, which typically is cost saving.
My sense of it is that this overall price, I thought it was for the two bridges, is it $4,519,345?
So the total for this first bridge that we're talking about is a little over 3.5. plus for the Vantine kill, which is the next.
So this is the Vantine kill.
I'm sorry,
the Wolven and the Woodsaw.
That's about 2.6.
Yeah, so it's going to come up a little bit.
That's the total.
So, 6.1, a little higher than my total, but is the direction you're headed, Legislator Liz, that you think that even though we have 80% federal on most of this, or a big chunk of it, and over 50% federal on the other part of it, that we should not move forward with this because of your concerns, or should we just note it?
I was just hoping there'd be some explanation for a cost that's higher than normal.
Is the overall cost of the project higher than normal, or is there potentially savings on some of the other elements?
It depends on, I mean, obviously, if you have a 100-foot bridge or you have a 500-foot bridge, there's, you know, a huge difference in cost. But no matter what the cost or what the size, the total cost of the project is an amount. And typical median range would be 8 to 10% of that amount would be the cost of construction inspection.
Any further questions or comments? Yes, Legislator Hewitt.
I'm wondering if asphalt is included as part of the total cost, as the final coating of the asphalt on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
It's steel, concrete, stone, subbase, backfill, asphalt. It's all in there. It's the total cost of the project.
Great, thank you.
To build the bridge.
So, Herb, are you asking, I don't want to put words in your mouth, to see if they'll come down on their percentage?
I'm sure they won't. It's negotiated. But I was hoping that there was some extenuating circumstance whereby, all right, there's a detour and you got to drive 28 miles to get to the other side of the bridge, or there's a specialty type of work, like it's a cable stay bridge where you have to hire inspectors that are licensed and accredited to inspect that type of work. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there's any extenuating circumstances on these structures that we require a higher cost for inspection.
There is not.
There is not. Okay.
We did know this is a big flag for us, and I think we're seeing a level that's coming up. CI is going to be more than design.
I don't know either.
So the important measures, noting that maybe to track it, just on glance, and you know, I don't. Just on glancing at these figures, it seems reasonable for these bridges, the overall cost. So if the overall cost is not going up to the same degree, you know, it's not being driven up by that increase in the percentage, I care a little bit less where the bid comes in terms of materials and these various elements. But if you would help us to see, because if it's a way of hiding an increase in the overall cost, then that's worrisome. Not sure what we can do about it in a bidding process, because the bids go out.
Yeah, you're looking at apples and oranges. The bid is the contractor submits a price to build the project. The concern I have construction inspection, which is the consulting firm that has nothing to do with the bid.
The building.
They design it, they prepare the bid documents, it goes out, they do an analysis, they suggest whether it should be awarded or not, and then they provide consultant services on the design side, and they supply construction inspection on the inspection side. So it's apples and oranges. The bid of 4.19 for two bridges seems to be relatively in the ballpark. I haven't looked at the bridges. I don't know what size they are, but in today's world, it's very difficult to get a bridge anywhere near a million, if not two. So for two bridges at 2.5, that doesn't sound too absorbent to me. But $808,000 additional for construction inspection seems to be.
Well, that's the next resolution. So let's look at this one. Is there somebody? So is there somebody who would like to make a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution.
And McCullough second. Second by McCullough. Any further discussion? All in favor?
One second. How many bids were done? Three?
I'm not sure how many submitted. At least three.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Approved unanimously. Now resolution number 123, approving the execution of a contract amendment for 808. Sorry? Oh, did we skip? Oh, sorry. We did skip. It's two down. So resolution number 121, amending capital project number 508 for the Bentington Bridge. Is this the one I read previously? No. Okay. PIN number 8761.75, replacement construction phase, authorizing agreements, certifications, or reimbursement requests for federal aid on behalf of Ulster County with the New York State Department of Transportation, appropriating funds, Department of Public Works, Highways, and Bridges. Legislator Kovacs. Discussion. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Now, resolution number 123, approving the execution of the contract amendments for $808,120 entered into by the county AECOM, we say?
Yep, AECOM
USA, Inc., Department of Public Works.
One of the largest engineering firms in the world.
So it's this resolution that most pointedly highlights the concern that you have with it. So our only options, as I would see it, would be to go back out for bid on this. You're not CJ.
You really can't go back out. We signed the contract. We signed the contract.
Okay. So
I'll make a motion that we move.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll come a second.
Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 124, approving the execution of a contract for $4,519,345 entered into the County Death and Cream LLC, Department of Public Works. How do you say?
Death and Cream.
Death and Cream.
I'll hold it.
McCullough seconds. This is both of those bridges. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 125, amending the 2024-2029 Capital Improvement Program, amending Capital Project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center Energy Upgrades and Boiler Replacement Project, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings, and Grounds. Do you want to give us a little, is there a motion? Second? Legislator. You want to give us an update on this, if this goes back a ways, right?
Yes, it goes back quite a ways.
Can you briefly summarize the history and bring us up to date with what this
is? Sure, so this predates my started quite a few years ago with a project to install gas lines, Central Hudson gas lines to the facility. So in preparation for this project. So after that, they ran the lines. This project essentially replaces three old existing boilers with four new energy efficient fuel boilers and a number of other pieces of equipment that I believe you all have. This stuff, heat pumps, those type of things, water heaters. It's not a new issue. I know there are a number of new legislators, and it is a lot of money. But it's 24/7 facility. Machines. The plan is to install temporary boilers and then decommission the existing boilers.
So I don't want to go back through all of the issues, but there were constraints that led to an eventual conclusion that moving ahead with a natural gas source in this building was the only practicable course. Do you want to say anything? I know you were there for that history.
Yeah, I was not involved in DPW, but there have been several attempts through thorough energy master plans and additional flex studies to look in depth at the building to evaluate it for geothermal, to evaluate it for different types of systems, and unfortunately, any short-term usable capacity to retrofitting with another type of technology. Decision was made as we respond to some gas service that was already coming down Route 32 to the jail enforcement center, which although it's switching from fuel oil to gas and it is still fossil fuel, it is somewhat. And again, dual fuel boilers so that they can consume natural gas primarily and then have a very, very large facility.
Any questions from the committee? Comments? All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Abstention on the basis of employment law. Resolution number 127, approving the execution of a contract for $437,720 entered into the county Eastern Heating and Cooling Department of Public Works. Is there a motion?
So.
Second. Comment?
So this is part of that project, and this has to be done first stage to replace the control systems and install new control systems for the new boiler. So this is all part of the boiler replacement project.
Thank you. Any questions or concerns? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Resolution 128, establishing capital project number 690, 2024 pavement preservation on various roads, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges.
I will make a motion to block 10 through 18. They're all extended contracts for work that we do every year.
So that would be resolutions number 128, 130, 131, 132, 133, 134, 135, 136, 137.
Correct.
Is there a second on the motion to block? Legislator McCullough. On blocking. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, that's unanimous to block. Is there a motion to move the block?
A motion to move the block.
And is there a second?
I'll second.
Legislator Donaldson.
I just have a question.
Hewitt.
Could you just describe pavement preservation fixing potholes?
No. Well, it can be. The intent is to extend the service life of the road. After so many years, proper maintenance, you need to go back and crack seal it, or even seal the entire surface. Then that would put any leveling work you need to do.
Thank you.
And I took note, I think this is true, please correct me if not, that several of these are in-place repaving, which is a newer technology where the broken pavement is taken in and processed in some fashion and then used again so that you're not putting new asphalt. I was a little confused. So
new aggregate.
So some diminishment in the amount of petroleum products that would be needed for these purposes. So I'm seeing everybody nodding their heads on that. Several of these resolutions do not yet include bid prices.
Yeah, these are all extensions.
These are extensions. But do we not usually get a figure for what the cost of the extension is?
I'm looking at
resolution numbers 132, 133, and 137.
If those prices are all set in the contract.
But not included in the resolution.
The prices are set, and it usually it's by ton of asphalt or by square foot or by whatever. And they usually wait until after the spring so they know where, you know, the roads have deteriorated the most before they come up with a list and say, we're going to do this road from here to here and this road from there to there. So this is approving the contracts to be able to do the work. The costs are already in the original contract because these are just extensions, but they don't necessarily know where they're going to use them yet. It's really based upon what happens. Right now we're in the middle of a freeze-thaw cycle, so you know some roads that look bad will get worse, and some of them that don't look so bad might even get worse than that.
So the contract that we're approving is really the rate per amount of mileage treated by the...
And we're extending the existing contract. It's an extension.
Sorry, I misunderstood your question. But yes, we don't have all the numbers yet as far as what we're going to do. We have a good idea, but...
Fair enough.
This year, she's really slanging it.
Legislator Hewitt.
I don't want to bog down the committee with a conversation about asphalt, but I'm fascinated and spoke to Superintendent of Highways Jeff Fry about how when you use that technology, it's actually using shorter fibers. I'm not sure what the fibers are, but he was saying it becomes weaker and less reliable over time if you keep using those chips. So I'm just bringing it up because I think there's a potential to experiment with fibers mixed in somehow. Is there trade industry things you go to where the asphalt is being reinvented?
That happens slowly.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that whole process is referring to.
Mm-hmm.
There are some processes where we add fibers into the product, but that usually makes it more flexible and less long.
Nice. Oh, yes, he was saying if you keep breaking it down, it's removing the long fibers and you need to add strength. I didn't know what the additives were, though. Cool.
They oxidize.
Thank you.
So it's a concern of legislators, Hewitt and other legislators, about the use of petroleum products. It cuts against our overall environmental goals for the county. So I think to the extent that you can in-house look at materials, alternatives. I considered these processes when they were presented a few years ago when I was on this committee to be improvements in the direction that we wanted to head, but it's worth looking at that. Is that true? And could we potentially use other materials? We learned in the Energy Environment Committee, I guess, or one of the committees looking at recycling and reuse that glass doesn't bring much in terms of recycling cost anymore. It may not even be cost effective to recycle glass. And yet glass can be a very good paving product. I would love to see Ulster County looking at whether or not there's local suppliers or regional suppliers. So I think this will be a way for us to potentially move in the direction of a more climate-friendly components. There's also hempcrete, which is of interest to people in this community because we have good agricultural lands to grow hemp. Legislator?
No, I was just going to say, the good. Department of Transportation, when I worked there back in the late 80s, paved a probably 7-mile stretch of Route 118 in Putnam County with a glass asphalt. And then the following year, we went back and reprocessed it because the skid resistance for braking, there were multiple accidents that occurred. So I think there is a place for glass and asphalt. The percentages have to be low because you don't want to compromise your skid resistance. On that project, I forget what the percentages were of glass. It was 18%, maybe something like that. But they had to go back the following year and repave the whole. Actually, we had to break up the pavement because the asphalt would slip on the glass asphalt. You know, there was a separation. So anyway, I think in the future, it'll probably be more. I know right now there's a lot of research going into adding more recycled pavement into the asphalt rather than, I don't know, we're up to 15-18%, maybe 25%. But it makes it more brittle, which means you might have to repave it more often. But there are new binders polymer binders being produced that the technology is moving, but we're not there yet.
So you'll keep pushing the edge of the envelope on that, and if we are going to use some new surfacing, new materials, probably do it in low-speed settings rather than in high-speed settings. Any further discussion on this block of resolutions? All in favor of the block?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Brings us to resolution number 138, establishing capital project number 692, Ulster County Office Building Security, Fire Alarm and Access Control Upgrades, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
I'll move.
Seconded by McCullough. Anything you want to add to what we've been presented on this?
We did a similar. We established a similar capital project at the end of last year for 368 Broadway building. We're going through doing an inventory of all of our buildings. This issue sticks out. We had a meeting here about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Legislator Hanson was involved as chair of the law enforcement committee. And security in this building and access control is a real concern, and so that's where this really stems from.
And
so we're installing access control, card readers, access control features, cameras, interior and exterior cameras, and not an entire building fire alarm system, but part features.
Thank you. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passed unanimously. Resolution number 140, establishing capital projects number 693, 694, and 695, 2024 DPW Facility Improvement Program, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. Briefly describe these capital projects?
Sure. All three capital projects are a result of the space study that was done last year. For those of you aware, DPW started a space study last year. One of the components of the space study, facility condition report at all of our facilities. We took the results of the facilities condition report, looked at them, and they were rated priority, urgent. They had different ratings. So then took them to each one, and you'll see, for example, site look in accessibility, sidewalk improvements. We're replacing approximately 300 feet of curbing and 400 feet of ADA compliant sidewalks in multiple buildings. That's one capital project. Another one is electrical upgrades. Some of the buildings have new panels, they need new switch gear, need a number of new things. And that's all based on the Bergman's space study. The final one is exterior wall and expansion joint repair. Again, standard, actually deferred maintenance that hasn't been done in years. And over time with COVID, and it just needs to be done. So, yeah, it was really DPW being proactive and looking at our facilities from an independent third party view. And we're acting on what we said we would.
Thank you.
I'll move it.
Thank you. And seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 142. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State's Unified Court System Department of Public Works Buildings and Grounds. Is there a motion? Second. This is a contract with New York State.
Yes. So this resolution authorizes a five-year agreement, a standard five-year agreement, and State Office of Court. Unified Court System reimburses the county for space that they office court space in. So the offices, the buildings are this Ulster County Office Building, Family Courthouse, obviously, and all the records. So the state reimburses the county for all its maintenance costs, all its cleaning costs.
Sure, janitorial,
sidewalk. Plowing, so this is a revenue contract, and this year it's about $600,000 we'll be getting back to the state.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 143, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $21,500, causing the aggregate contract plus a minimum amount in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county MMG Fire Equipment Department of Public Works. Is there a motion? Let's play with Cole. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Legislator Kovacs. This contract extension.
It's a contract extension that puts it over the $50,000 threshold. We're adding $21,500 to the contract. It's a maintenance contract for 662 fire extinguishers, and three buildings have fire suppression systems that they do for the annual and semi-annual inspections.
And so the total is $51,500 that we're up to now. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Thank you. Let's move to new business. We've been asked by the Climate Smart Committee to appoint a member of the Public Works Capital Projects and Transportation Committee as a liaison. Is there interest from any of the members in serving? If you all know the Climate Smart Committee. So I can talk with the Climate Smart Committee about this. You know, I think it's helpful. And we have several issues that actually some of them will be coming up in new business and old business that relate to the Climate Smart Committee's work. So I think it's a very reasonable request, and I would like to have somebody from this committee participate. So I would ask you to maybe look at their agenda and see whether or not this is something that it can be very educational. It's been very educational to me. I've been attending Climate Smart Committee meetings for years. And so it's possible that I could attend these, but I think it would be better if a member of the committee does serve, because I think it brings a lot of cross-fertilization of ideas and really broadening of our perspective on the work of this committee. So I don't think it's urgent that we do that tonight, but I'd like for us to meet this request. We also have on the agenda for new business the formation and standing up of a Parks, Public Spaces, and Recreation Department. And we have with us legislator. I didn't speak with you ahead of time about this, but would you like to say a little bit about your plan and how you would like to work with the committee?
Sure. Should I give these out?
Yes, please. What he's referring to is he has an outline for the Parks, Public Spaces, and Recreation Committee, which was established by which was funded in last year's budget.
The director position hiring, we're thinking by July as far as budgeting. Back in October 5th, I spoke to Deputy Commissioner. Yeah, sure. Back in October of 23, I spoke to Deputy Commissioner Parity just as I was putting ideas together and writing a draft to get a position pass for Director of Parks, Public Spaces, and Recreation. We spoke last week at Energy, Environment, and Sustainability, how this is unique because we've added a public spaces component. So I just wanted to write a suggested timeline on this, a proposed timeline for how we can move things forward, potential priorities of the department focus areas. So I add a little bit about public spaces there, and recreation and parks. Then the next page is a draft of a local law that can help create the Parks Department, and it's a draft. So I'm looking for feedback from the executive branch, my colleagues, the DPW. I spoke to the director of Parks and Rec in Dutchess County. She said it's part of the DPW, which is advantageous because instead of having her own crew with mowers and people who are going out every day, they partner with the DPW. And then the staff at the Parks and Rec Department is more focused on vision and developing programs instead of running a whole staff. So it actually, as I looked at the budget of buildings and grounds, parks, and what you're already doing, this could help ease the burden of DPW. So I think we asterisked the legislative intent because the legislature's purpose is to create intent on laws like this. I'm excited about two unique components of this paragraph, where it says incorporates edible landscapes and food forests and embraces native wisdom. I think these two items are unique. There's definitely parks departments, and we're putting together examples across the country and around the world that incorporate edibles and have a list of suggested edibles, like blueberries, apples. That's why the draft logo I put together has blueberries on it. Ulster County has a whole history. A rich history of blueberry picking, which is called huckleberries. So the Mohonk Mountains were filled with huckleberry pickers and cottages. So apples and blueberries are naturally fit for our soils. The pH here is perfect for those two. But in the draft proposal that's not in this packet, I think I sent it to both of you. Did I, Brendan? Okay, I'll get a copy of that earlier draft. It's just executive intent around our parks and our priorities around public spaces. It was an earlier draft to what we're now developing. Now we're putting together examples. Yeah, back in October. So it evolved since then, actually. I'll get you the latest. But there are definitely edible forests and food forests across the country, but I think by embracing native wisdom, we're talking about treating the parks differently, and some food forests that are guided by native cultures are really just allowing the forest to grow, and then they select by allowing nuts to grow and berries to grow and fruits to grow, and then it thrives without a plan that's all linear. It's more of a natural food forest. That's where the word permaculture comes from. Permanent agriculture is a modern movement out of Australia, but it's actually an ancient way of working with food. So that's what the edibles are about. And the native wisdom, there are people like Curtis, who works with the Farm Hub. He's a Lenape wisdom keeper. And we could work with people like Curtis and Teokas and Ghost Horse to learn how native people have worked with the land historically. But we're legislators. So what I'm trying to do is create this timeline of how to pass it off to the executive branch. So really what we are doing is writing the job description with the executive branch, putting together a group of stakeholders, not a formal committee, but just people like John Adams, who has embraced the Colony Farm in Napanoc for years as a Southern Ulster potential park to connect the Catskills to the Gunks. So someone like John should be involved in the process, legislators, executive reps, but I think it would be good to start talking about it so that we can get it done efficiently. Hire a director when we can. I think Chair Nolan had a great point about how sometimes it takes longer than expected. It took 18 months to hire Deb Dewan, our new agricultural coordinator. And then empower and guide the director as much as possible after handing off the proposal. So even the proposal that I'll share with both of you and that most of us have seen is a guide, because we can't know what the director will eventually do and the community and community input. So right now, we're just hoping to move things forward, and here's where we're at. Thank you.
Yeah, I had an earlier version of this, and I went through and edited it. I think you need to put some additional wording in here, even in the title, because this position will only oversee Ulster County parks. And if you read this, and I've had another individual who is from town read this and said, there you go, the county is going to direct us what to do with our own parks. So I think you need to insert in here several places where it talks about, you know, playgrounds and, you know, whatever, that it be county parks and county playgrounds. And because I'm starting to see pushback from the locals in that, almost like an unfunded mandate or the county directing them to do something with their own parkland that they worked very hard to get. And a little taken aback when they thought the county was going to come in and direct them how they can use it or what they need to do or what they need to plant in their local park.
Thank you.
You mean even in the description of the director and the deputy director? I think it needs to be clear that this position only oversees county-owned land or county parks. And listen, if a town wants to buy into it, do an intermunicipal agreement or something like that, fine. But it should be the position and the assistant should be hired only for county parks and county-owned property.
Yes, thank you, Legislator Litz. In this document, which I'll share with you guys, objective number one says, support, empower, and coordinate with Ulster County's towns, villages, and City of Kingston to improve existing parks and secure potential parks, leveraging cohesive signage, educational themes, and messaging throughout the county. But I think I'll add language about voluntary intermunicipal agreements. Thank you.
And just to disclose, on your original outline, you talk about compile information about Open Space Institute holdings in Wawarsing, and my company's done all of those studies. So
nice.
I don't know whether I could vote or not on stuff or not. It's ethical.
Thank you.
And we can see that that part is data collecting, and it's done outside of this committee, and so my time.
Well, and they make recommendations as how to proceed forward. So.
Yes, Legislator Hewitt.
Does Legislator Kovacs want
you? I think it's an interesting idea. Is this your brainchild here? Or?
I started working on it with 5 legislators last year and then started sharing it with everyone for feedback.
I echo Legislator's comments about the town parks. Some town parks, city parks are wonderful. And others, you know, may need some direction from a county parks department. So I think that's a good point. My district includes Ulster Lenny Park, which is now known as Sojourner Truth Park. That park has kind of just sat there. It's not really used that much. It's a beautiful property, which I think could be reinvigorated by a parks department. So I have a question for you about this. Your comment on page 1, mm-hmm. the Midtown Linear Park, mm-hmm. a lot can be said about it and what can happen, and we manage it to the city of Kingston. Can you just elaborate on that more?
Sure. Similar to your example of Sojourner Truth, because we don't have a department, when I spoke to Mayor Noble about this proposal, he said right now they're getting a lot of publicity about the dangers on the Midtown Linear Park, for example, but it's the county's park, but they have a maintenance agreement. So he said if we took over that, we would be in charge of maintenance. Is it so? It looks like.
Deputy Director, Deputy Executive Laval, do you want to?
There is a maintenance agreement that was part of the negotiation as far as the linear park. It is part of the Green Line, which that other part of the network is overseen by the city. So I think it's, you know, and there's an additional task force right now that is focused on the town. So I think there are plans by the city to have a more cohesive linear trail strategy.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I think then my point is about support. Where can they use support, or where can the Sojourner Truth Park use support? I think this can help.
You know, I heard a lot of negative things about the Linear Park. So I one day last fall, I took my scooter and went all the way down it. It's beautiful. It's a nice park. It just needs some attention.
Yeah.
But I think it helps with pedestrians safely going traveling from Midtown to Kingston Plaza to do shopping. Mm-hmm. It certainly serves a good purpose. I think this is an interesting concept. I look forward to working with you on this, Chris. And the legislative intent, you know, I think it might need some play provision.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to listening to all.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to comment about this supporting municipal parks. I think the county can do that in multiple ways. And as we move forward into this realm, I think we need to be cautious about things that have already been negotiated and worked out, because it might be that all the parks in the county would be happy to have Ulster County manage them and fund them. Mm-hmm. And that might not be the best route for us to go for a lot of different reasons, not just in terms of the monies involved, but in terms of local community control and buy-in from the community. And similarly, I think that we want to be careful as we go forward here. I think this idea moved quite fast because there have been meetings about trying to improve Ulster County's recognition of open space opportunities and open space funding, stretching back for 6, 8, 10 years, the entire Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee is set up to basically bring together all of the mostly volunteers that work in all areas of the county and bring them into one place. So you have Ulster County Planning that has been doing a lot of this work. Public Works has been doing a lot of this work. Energy and Environment has had some contributions to make. And of course, the Economic Development and Tourism Committee and the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee. So there's been a system that has developed over time to do many of the things that now might be centered in this office. But I think there should be some careful thinking about which of those functions should come into this office and which should remain because they're not broken, let's not fix it. And I appreciated your mention of Dutchess County, where the Parks Department focused, as you reported it, on programs and vision, and kind of separated out that the DPW was doing maintenance and management of some of those Dutchess County properties. I think we want to look at very carefully what all the functions are that we want happening and where they're currently taking place, and then do they stay there or do they move? Because I think that way we get additional value instead of just substituting one office for another, where we may lose from transition costs or, you know, where there's been a historical buildup of knowledge and resources and equipment in regard to DPW. So I'm glad that you've had some initial conversations with DPW, but I think it's really important that we discuss this proposal and put it on our standing agenda to look at, because so much of it has been management by DPW, as I understand it. Deputy Executive Laval.
And we're just starting to review this proposal. Received it last week after Energy and Environment. And I guess, you know, we have some concerns, I guess, some major themes being budget and longer term fiscal impact from taking on this kind of the department and of the staffing and the potentially the budget that would be required then to carry out the vision. And then also how it functionally or operationally would work within the county. And I think Legislator McMillan just touched on many of those thoughts that we've had internally as far as how a lot of this work of visioning has been happening and, you know, how does that relate to the proposal, and also thinking about there's some variety in the language as far as, you know, the county working with the towns or taking over other open space or public resources. And again, back to questions of, you know, we have to think longer term on taking on a, this is a big decision. It's a big undertaking to create a department and to the infrastructure around that, and then also the fiscal impact.
Thank you. Legislator,
I think my next two meetings, I'd like to meet with DPW, get feedback when you're ready, and also Legislator Nolan, because of the ag position and some of the overlap that you said could exist in that position. Because I didn't even know when we were first discussing it that would focus on open space and possible conservation.
Yes, what Legislator Ewitt is referring to is that the ARPA funding that was budgeted for the agricultural crisis relief program included about a third of the $2 million in funding for farmland preservation efforts, which there are potentially large amounts of state and federal money, but the Ulster County has not been able to bring in because we didn't have anybody focused on farmland preservation and grant writing for some of those. Some of those grants are very big and require like 2 years lead-in time with dedicated staff to bring an applicant up to the point where they would be funded. But our surrounding areas are getting several million-dollar grants for some of their farmlands in the order of 100 acres or 150, and we have farms of that size. So that would potentially be a concern of this parks, public spaces, and recreation department, and yet the ag person currently new position is in the economic development and tourism. So I think we need to have some short-term focus on, you know, what does it take to stand this up in a way that it, you know, will go forward nicely, but also some longer-term visions of 3 years and 5 years where it might be. And that kind of planning, if we invest it now, will mean that we'll have something really good over those years and not be fighting with each other or trying to solve conflicts between departments that have done it this way but now being asked to do it that way and so on. So
one last point about Legislator Litz's question on OSI. The reason I added that is Colony Farm isn't a guarantee because it's owned by the Department of Corrections.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's a property in use, which means there is a corrections officer living there, but it's 100 acres that is the only contiguous property that can connect the Gunks to the Catskills. So that would be ideal, but as I spoke to Open Space Institute, I think they own almost 2,000 acres in that spot, in the same spot. So there's other potential properties. I also asked for a list of everything Ulster County owns and looked at everything over 10 acres just to see where that fits into the plan.
Good. We look forward to your bringing back that data, you know, and as much as you can to get it to us so we can circulate it to everybody in advance will be great.
Thank you.
I asked for the Catskill Mountain Railroad diesel engine and particulate matter to be added to our new business here because this was placed on the agenda for energy and environment last week. I think that it is highly relevant to energy and environment, but it's property owned by Ulster County and therefore managed by DPW. And so I thought we would it would be important to have the ability to talk about it in this committee. And again, probably as an ongoing item since it's in motion. Anything that either the deputy executive or DPW wants to say about particulate matter?
I've been having a conversation with CMRR in regards to particulate matter. They're intending to have some monitoring in place by the Easter trains that they want to run. They're looking for a little bit of guidance as far as what we're looking for them to report on. So we discussed that, and I provided them with a few sample measuring units, measuring devices.
So there are handheld measuring devices that can record particulate matter for PM 2.5 and PM 2.10 usually. And many of the contaminants that diesel engines emit also track along with that particulate matter because particulate matter pulls the chemicals in the exhaust onto the particles. So you don't get a readout of what contaminants there are, but you know as your particulate matter goes up that you're getting increasing concentrations of the benzene and the aromatic hydrocarbons that are known to come from diesel exhaust. And we don't have to go into it as much detail as last week in energy and environment, but these engines were built prior to the EPA and regulations on emissions from locomotives. And so they are not covered by those regulations. So they are allowed to emit much more than would be allowed if they were covered by those regulations. So we have the situation where we know that there is a type of engine that can emit both for regional air quality, but members of the public, including Steve Rice, the past president, past chair of the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee, has found research that shows that in those type of trains pulled by those type of engines, there's considerable contamination of the cabs in the trains, especially those immediately behind the engines. So this is the reason that the new permit for the Catskill Mountain Railroad includes a provision that they would do monitoring. I'm a little concerned, though, that we don't have the officials from the Catskill Mountain Railroad just use a handheld device and bring us some printouts. So at Energy and Environment, I suggested that we have them contact Eli Duker over at Bard College, who's doing measurements of particulate matter in the city of Kingston. And I mentioned the Environmental Health Project, which is out of Pennsylvania, who has done monitoring of compressor stations with spec monitors, very similar to the ones you're describing. I have looked into Environmental Health Project, and they seem to have moved a little bit away from that, so I will call them this week and see if they are at all available. But I think we need to consider encouraging this operator to hire a consultant who will help us know how many monitors we need, where they need to be, and then help us interpret any baseline data and any data we get from the monitoring devices. Do you want to add anything, Steve Rice?
My personal feeling with the devices, one of the devices I suggested is under 400 a unit. It makes sense to put one in every car because the smoke pattern distributes behind the train as it moves, or you know, even gets ahead of it. So it's going to be a different experience for every cab, and I expect that the numbers I see are health dangerous, not just a little bit. So having CMR embrace getting the 2.5 measurement done right away is a big positive step towards knowing whether I'm scaring myself with numbers from nothing or if we have a real problem.
I don't think we have within the county's personnel somebody who run this project. So I look, you know, for guidance, but my feeling is that we would do well to ask for a consultant and a project rather than just monitoring and data. And if we need to have further discussion about that, we could, but I think bringing in, and maybe we need to identify somebody in the county, and maybe it is yourself, Commissioner Masterson, to speak with Eli Duker or somebody else who would run this project. It's not very difficult to do this. It's just that I don't see us as necessarily being able to interpret the data that we might get. And if we don't do the research in a valid way, then we might not find problems that are there, or we might find something that, you know, indicates a problem when it's really not. The CMRR has also indicated that they are looking into obtaining filters that they could put, as Ernie Hunt was describing it, on the engines to catch things, which would be fantastic because that would keep it out of the ambient air and out of the cabins. There are also filters that can be placed in the cabins that I've recommended to people and others recommend for people who have particulate matter in their homes or businesses because they're their proximity to a highway or a fracking site or a compressor station. And the county stopped short of requiring the filters prior to the research, but since we didn't require them, I agree with Steve Rice that we should move ahead very quickly to getting the monitoring in case we really are having these trains the same kinds of emissions that have been documented in this era of engines in other settings. Okay. Got a couple of items. Oh, I want to, before we go to old business, I also want to mention this topic.
Yes.
Okay.
While we're on that subject, I'm excited to see that you borrowed the agenda item. I didn't know it was possible. I put that on the agenda last week just to get a conversation started. And I think Steve Rice came to the meeting and Ernie, and so I think we had a healthy conversation. The next day I wrote to Economic Development, Kevin Lynch, I wrote to Lisa Berger, and talked about how this is an issue for all of our departments, and maybe we can help financially support progress. I don't know how that's possible.
But what issue is, are you saying is...
Just the pollution. This is a tourism railroad that we brag about, and it's also an economic development attractor. So I feel like by involving those two departments in the solution, I just wanted to get a dialogue started, and Director Lynch suggested we involve Europa McGovern because it's an environmental issue. My thought was, how does all of our departments help this problem?
Yes, Executive Director, Deputy Executive LaBelle.
My grandmother used to say, call me anything you want, not leave for dinner. Right? So I think we have to be respectfully very careful there, because it is a for-profit business operating in the community. And I realize that we are perhaps trying to guide them into a course of action that we think is better for everyone in the community. However, I think any suggestions there have to be pretty carefully vetted. So I would definitely want to look at those very carefully.
Yeah. Legislator, you?
Thank you very much. I wasn't sure about what's possible, and so Kevin said we can't give a grant, for example, but I said, can we give an environmental award or some other way to recognize if they improve?
Certificate all day long.
Certificates.
So we do have in Ulster County policies that forbid smoking in county buildings and for quite a distance outside of buildings on county grounds. And so that is part of the reason that this is county grounds that this private business operates on. So I agree we should be careful as we're going forward, but I think we're it's important that if we have a hazard to the public, that we identify the magnitude of that hazard and correct it, or at least advise the public of that hazard. I also want to, before we move on to old business, mention that we've had reported from members of the community that the CMRR has been conducting activities on the Ulster and Delaware corridor west of milepost 8.3, which is where the limits of their current permit is. And that's a concern to the county for several reasons. That's unpermitted activity that has involved, as we see from the photographs, tree cutting with chainsaws, extensive brush clearing on Ulster County's property without Ulster County's knowledge, and running the equipment of this private business onto areas that they're not permitted to use at present. You want to speak on that?
That was just brought to my attention the other day. I actually, this morning, I was drafting a letter to CMRR, putting them on notice, and that's the need to remedy the situation.
Great. I wanted to make sure you were informed, and again, that we've got some follow-up at this committee of what they've done in terms of ceasing those activities and removing their equipment. I presume that's what's in your letter. Maybe you'll send a copy as you send it out to them, to us for this.
I've got a bunch on the CC.
Excellent, thank you. Old business, I don't see anybody here from UCAT. We had, can you give us an update on the lock zone on UCAT buses and county vehicles?
Yes, we requested an update since they didn't have other business in front of the
city
instead of having them come for just that. The naloxone on county buses, they currently have about half of the drivers who have been trained on administering, as well as most of the staff. However, because not all the current staff or bus drivers are trained, they're going to wait, they're scheduling a training in April, at which time that'll be redeployed on the bus.
Great. Since that's April, I'm happy enough. I would say that you could put naloxone on the bus even before the drivers are trained, because many members of the community know how to use it. And so, but April is around the corner. This was brought to us by a member of the public. Do you want to speak on it again?
Yeah, just one quick question, and I understand. Would participation be voluntary for the drivers or mandatory in this?
I believe it is voluntary for the drivers because of the that, although that seems fairly straightforward, it is, we can research it some more, and I know Rob had some kind of feedback on some other things that were kind of related from the state side. It can be a significant change in their duties as far as what they can be expected, required to do on the job. So I will double check on that. That's what I had heard previously.
Yeah, I think following up on it is good. If we have over 50% already on a voluntary basis becoming trained, I think that's good, and we can see where that maxes out. If it maxes out at 60%, maybe we have a problem. If it maxes out at 95%, you're not going to get much more by making it mandatory. So why do that? So I'd say if you can give us a little time to look at it, that okay. This is headed in a good direction.
The driver should be aware now that the training will be offered in
April. It will be part of a larger set of mandatory trainings. So they will be trained.
Okay.
That part. They will receive that information.
They will receive the training, but they might not be able to be required to use it. Is that
right.
What you're saying?
It's required, like per their job specifications, duties of state.
Would that be due to a union contract?
I don't know enough to answer okay. that specifically, okay. but I can look into it.
Okay. I have for email address so I can continue. Is that okay? Is that yep. okay with
yes.
you?
Yes. Yep.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Deputy Executive Laval. Yes, Legislator McCall.
Can I ask a couple of questions about buses, if you can answer? One, will the buses be expanding their routes soon?
So we are currently doing a route optimization study. So first thing we want to do is we want to look at how the buses are currently being used, when they're being used, by whom they're being used, what are the most effective routes, then also do public outreach to ask people how they wish the buses were running,
okay.
serving them, etc., and then bring those two things together in a data management tool. So we can look at, all right, well, you could run the route over here. How would that impact the rest of the schedule? Or how would that impact staffing? So that's the first analysis that we're going through before changing all the routes.
I got a couple more questions. Really short, easy. Next one is it a way for you to remind drivers to hit the button when someone gets on and off so you can have
better data?
Yes.
So they do have to record that. I don't know.
Sometimes people can forget.
Okay, you seem to be saying that sometimes they may be forgetting to hit the button. Well, that's important because that's how our reimbursement
our study,
is
yep.
based. So we have a really good incentive to want to keep good data on that
uh-huh.
so I can follow up with you, Kat, on that.
Okay.
Go for it.
The bus that goes to SUNY OSA. It's been said that the bus has like a layover for like 10 minutes. Is that so, or?
I don't know the schedule off
okay.
the top of my head.
If that's so, it was said that they used to have porta potties out there. And then they went away.
Okay.
So people are asking me if that's possible
okay.
to bring, especially if there's a layover.
Yeah,
you got, seniors on the buses, yeah. or maybe if they can use the school, work out something with some. So people that need to use the restroom can not be messed up.
Okay.
Let me see. I think I got one more,
okay.
one more. This may be DPW. Soquel Road. Someone called me the other day. They were walking. They said they're afraid for their life. Cars are flying. If there's something that can be done to protect the walkers, I don't know if we can do something to lower the speed limit maybe, or maybe some kind of barrier to protect the, from the vehicles. The person was frantic. They said, I'm walking, I'm fearing for my life, and I'm so far away I can do anything about it. But I, when people talk to me, I bring it here to get answers, to get back to them. So, so.
I think that might be an appropriate concern to bring to the Traffic Safety Board. And the Traffic Safety Board has the traffic planner for Ulster County and other officials who can really evaluate that, look at the specific site that the person is talking about. And they meet monthly.
They meet the first Monday of every month at 6 o'clock in chambers.
Monday of the month in chambers.
And if you, if the person needs more contact information to feel comfortable, you can contact us. We can give them. Brian Slack is the chair of that committee, I believe.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's April 1st, right?
April 1st.
Are you serious?
That's a good day to start in with that.
There you go. It may be moved to April 8th, sort of speak out of turn.
Oh.
But I'm it's on the committee and we're actively looking at moving to April 8th.
Probably April 8th then. Thank you. We want accurate information.
Well, it's on lockdown.
Okay, I'll put a question in.
Yes.
This also, this, these questions relate to the next item on the old business, which is update of bus shelters.
So the update there is that a letter has gone out from UCAT to every supervisor and mayor in a municipality through which UCAT travels. So definitely like Hartenberg off the list, but other than that, that's everybody else. Asking them to be telling them about the initiative to update the bus shelters, that they would be, you know, have more modern amenities, and then asking them to respond to a survey to indicate their interest. Verbally, I've spoken with the mayor of the city of Kingston, and they would be, they are already responsible for maintaining the shelters in the city of Kingston. They are looking to, they would be willing to avail themselves of, you know, updated new shelters with the county. However, we haven't received to date a lot of response back from the other municipalities. And again, this is one place where, because of limited county resources and stewarding how we deploy those resources, we're not able to commit to maintaining the bus shelters, cleaning graffiti off them, checking them for, you know, if somebody littered, you know, shoveling them out. That is, it's too dispersed from the county's operations to do that. So we are looking for the municipalities to take over that maintenance responsibility.
Yes, one more question.
You reminded me of something. Getting old.
We all are.
I said something to...
I have a question if you want.
Okay, you go.
While you're thinking of that.
Back to me.
My question or suggestion, I guess, would be recommendation is that we also look at areas of the bus routes that are relatively stable over time.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's already built in.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
It came back to me.
Yeah.
I knew it would.
As far as places that the buses go that have paper schedules, are those being updated? I know people can call a phone number and they said when they call, that's it, it's accurate for them there. But what about people who don't maybe have phones or?
I know they've been updated, like you said, online, and there was some attention to make sure that they were visibility accessible, like they improved them, the readability of them online. But I will also check for you on the update.
I promise, that's it.
I think that the answer we got to a similar question, either in this committee or another committee, was that they plan to reprint them after they do this optimization study, route optimization study.
That makes sense. Okay.
Thank you.
Legislator Hewitt.
Have you had any initial feedback from supervisors about any pushback on maintenance?
I have not. To date, it's been like no response. So that's the next step there, is kind of figuring that out. But that is the current status quo for the bus shelter, so it's not asking them to take on a new responsibility.
Thank you.
legislator.
Have you asked to participate during the Association of Town meeting?
Can you say more so we understand what that question refers to?
Well, every month the Association of Towns has a meeting, and the supervisors and the mayors and everybody come together in a room and have a meeting. That would be a good forum to bring that to the table, because you have them all in a room.
And an update on the route optimization study as well. You know, I think that would be good.
Great idea. Great suggestion.
Media is great, but face-to-face works.
Mm-hmm. No, it was letter.
Anything else on those topics? So I have one brief thing to add, but before we get to that, our last topic already on the agenda is the update on Pancake Hollow Road and Union Turnpike.
It's actually Union Center Road.
Union Center Road.
Yeah. No, that was my fault. I told you Turnpike.
So this had come up, I think, at the last meeting issues. Do you have a update or report back for us on it?
The deputies gave me the two letters the following morning, and we already had a crew out on one on the road doing pipe inspection job.
Which one are we talking about?
Union Center.
Okay.
We were changing cross pipes.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to. But they went and they looked at the blockages, cleared the blockages. So
okay.
The pipes.
Because I got another email on the 10th, which was what, Saturday?
Yesterday.
It flooded half the road this time, not the whole road. And to be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, you might be able to tell from looking at the picture, but I don't know.
So is it planned for you to go back?
Yeah.
Do you want to forward that on?
That's it. If you recognize that, S-turn signal, that it's that culvert. And I hear that culvert's partially blocked, so that's part of the problem. But you looked at all the locations. There were, I think, six total that closed the road, or three closed the road, six total flooded.
Two supervisors were up there, and they went.
Okay.
Whatever needs to be tended to, they
do. Good. How about backing up the pavement?
If there's areas that need it, we absolutely can do that.
Okay.
We tend to do it when we top.
I know, and when I brought it up last time, I said I found it highly unusual that you didn't follow up with a widener and do the edge, and I was told that was done, but I walked the road, and it was never done. And you redid, it was hot in-place recycling, and you did it last summer. So it's months and months. And some of those drop-offs, I mean, one of them is almost 18 inches. So, all right, good.
So is this an item that should remain on our agenda for next month, or
sure.
Is it considered resolved? Okay, we'll keep it.
But Pancake Hollow is a separate issue, separate. Did you go out and look at that DI?
Yeah. So, there's section three, DIs.
Drainage inlet. Thank you.
Sorry.
So, that one had issues.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
And that's what caused it to flow around behind the houses there.
Yep.
By the time it got to 280, which is two houses down,
mm-hmm.
That's where it was also flooding the roadway.
Okay.
There's two DIs right there. There's one at the edge of the road, and there's one in the guy's yard. The one in the yard was taking full bore from the stream that's in his backyard.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of water. It would have been mitigated had with that other attrition by 265 knockout.
Okay.
We're going to make sure.
Did you
improve the ditching in the spring?
Did you talk to Mrs. Anello?
I did not.
You did not. But you were out there.
Yes.
Can you give me a time frame? Because she called me again and left a message, but I'll. When you went. Ballpark?
Within a couple of days.
A couple of days past last meeting.
After the meeting. Okay. Thank you. I think this is a good...
I don't understand. We do intend to beef up that part of the ditch right there. It's pretty shallow and narrow. So that we get better directed to that catch basin.
And apparently when you paved the road and went back and did some asphalt ditch work or something, you know, you cut in her the bank in front of her house and promised her you were going to seed it. Well, somebody going to seed it and make it nice, and you never went back and did that. So,
which one of the properties? The 265 property.
Yeah, it's Mrs. Anella. Yeah, she's like 90 years old. She's like out. She's like 90 years old, and she goes out and mows that by hand.
Deputy Commissioner, before we conclude, I want to suggest that we add to our ongoing agenda the an update on the Fleet Management Review Committee's activities. The county has just issued its 2023 Green Fleet Policy report. And if we could circulate that to this committee, I think that would be great. I think it's going to form the basis for that fleet review committee's work, or at least a foundation for it, I would hope. But I think it's important that we have the DPW perspectives on fleet. They have the largest number of vehicles, I think, and may have some particular concerns. So in order to have those conversations available without necessarily all of us having to go to that meeting, if we can look at the reports of what they're doing and discuss it here. Legislator Kovacs, you're on that committee? You were at the committee meeting.
I just came to the meeting.
Yes. So I also came to the meeting and will come to many of them, but I think we ought to stay informed all along so we don't have to do a whole bunch of catch-up when they come out with policies. We'll know along the way what they're thinking and whether the concerns we might have are being addressed. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to thank anybody who's watching remotely. I forgot to welcome everybody at the beginning. Thank you for those people who came in person, but also welcome to those who are watching real time or who are catching us after the fact for their entertainment pleasure. And I think that covers our business for the evening.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second by Legislator Donaldson. Thank you, everybody.
Aye.
Oh.